The city of New Haven embraced a plan for affordable housing in 2019. But some advocates have different solutions when it comes to housing reform. WSHU's Davis Donovan reports on how residents and city planners see the future of affordable housing.
Kevin McCarthy has lived in New Haven for more than 30 years. He's seen the city propose solutions like subsidies and penalties on landlords to increase affordable housing. But many residents are still burdened by rent that costs a third of their paycheck, often much more.
New Haven really is two cities. It is a wonderful city if you're doing okay financially or if you're associated with Yale. It's also a city where there's a great deal of poverty.
McCarthy is with the East Rock Community Management Team. He says in the past few years, the city's had a housing boom, but the majority of the units built are market rate.
When we've had developers come in, one of the questions that routinely gets asked is, are you going to have any affordable housing? And the answer almost universally is no.
McCarthy says the housing that is created is not affordable to someone that's working class.
If you're a single person working a minimum wage job, you can afford a rent of about $600 a month. Places like that don't exist in New Haven.
2 years ago, the city's Affordable Housing Task Force put out a list of 44 recommendations. Among the recommendations, expand zoning laws to allow new forms of housing, like rooming houses and accessory dwellings. McCarthy calls them granny flats. Enforce penalties on landlords who don't maintain housing quality standards. Karen DuBois-Walton is the head of the city's housing authority, and she was part of that task force. She says the idea is to give people their housing of choice.
Our goal is that when you drive through our communities, things don't stick out to you as that must be where the poor people live. But we are creating things that are high quality, that families feel valued when they live there.
DuBois-Walton says just 30% of New Haven's housing qualifies as affordable. That's still good for Connecticut. The state's had some of the least affordable housing in the country for years, especially for renters.
That's far more than you find in any of our surrounding towns. And it's a very similar pattern that you'll find if you visit Hartford or Bridgeport. The cities have the bulk of the affordable housing concentrated in a few neighborhoods. And the surrounding towns really offer very little in terms of opportunity for families.
To fix that, the Housing Task Force made a recommendation that's proved controversial. Revise state zoning laws to crack down on towns with less than 10% affordable housing.
Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to today's public hearing.
A bill to do just that was at the center of a marathon Zoom hearing in March that ran for almost 24 hours, making it clear there's a lot of disagreement on the issue.
Today, we have 340 people signed up to testify. We do have House sessions scheduled tomorrow at 12:30, so that will be a limiting factor.
Opponents especially went after one bill that would allow developers to build multifamily housing in small towns without going through the usual public hearing process. Westport resident Lawrence Tireno said to allow outside developers to build without giving locals a say would be an abomination of democratic principles.
None of our residents oppose affordable housing, but cramming numerous apartment buildings in a very small residential area is just plain counterproductive and dangerous. In many cases, all you're creating is an economic windfall for developers without any real affordable housing.
Some on the committee were skeptical too, including State Representative Doug Dubitsky, a Republican from Chaplin, a town of just 2,300 people in Northeast Connecticut, an area known as the Quiet Corner.
Why would forcing a town like mine to allow four-unit apartment buildings in a single-family zone, how would that possibly encourage people of color to move into my town, which has been losing people for years?
Jonathan Wharton is a professor at Southern Connecticut State University. He served as New Haven's city planning commissioner until last year.
A lot of these decisions are often made at the county level in other states. And by creating what they're establishing and what they're suggesting, it's very difficult to meander or to suggest that on behalf of New Haven, these other towns are not going to come together because of the state.
Wharton admits it's no secret that zoning laws in the state are behind. But he says what works for one jurisdiction might not work for another. Housing is not a one-size-fits-all solution.
Towns have had to find pathways of complying to be certain that there's some kind of affordable housing options. But then towns have been not only so much resistant, which we know that they are, but they've also found ways of going around it by saying, well, we'll give a voucher instead, or we'll have people go to this town instead.
Wharton says local officials need to communicate with residents about policies that will work. He says New Haven can't fill the need for affordable housing by itself, but he fears attempts to introduce legislation for statewide zoning reform that could lead to lawsuits.
I'm not suggesting that state government can't solve that problem. I think the state government can be helpful in being a negotiator between towns. But I think to use the rule of law and to enforce it and push it is going to send kind of the wrong signal and will lead to a backlash of local government. And that's my biggest fear.
Wharton says one solution may be vocational housing projects. That's housing for teachers, cops, and firefighters, in addition to income-based housing. Examples come from housing models in Jersey City and Newark.
Trust me, there are so many ways of being creative on this.
And another one called Teachers Village opened in Hartford, Connecticut in 2019, with 60 units at a range of prices and even workspaces for teachers. For WSHU News, I'm Davis Donovan.
This report was produced in partnership with the Solutions Journalism Network.